Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. In this daily editorial, we are getting an update from Great Bear Resources, traded on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol GBR and on the OTCQX under the symbol GTBAF. I'm chatting again with the president and CEO, Chris Taylor. Now, Chris, a couple news releases that we're going to cover. First one from yesterday, March 11th. More drill results from the LP fault from surface. We have the headline number, just over 27 grams per ton gold, over 15 and a half meters. Another result of a little over 18 grams per ton gold, over almost 16 meters. Now, Chris, it seems like every time I talk to you, we're talking about high-grade results over these long widths, very impressive results. And I think the market, they're actually getting used to just high-grade, nice widths. So the big question I think we need to cover is, what are these results telling you, and what is the overall size of this system now turning into?
Yeah, thanks, Corey. It's a great chance to be able to address some of those questions. So we put out some figures in yesterday's release, and one of those was the cross-section. And the cross-section goes across the Dixie Limb, the Hinge, and the LP fault zone. And the thing to pay attention to on that is that that cross-section is 1.2 kilometers long, and it has multiple parallel gold zones. So really, maybe a better way to think about the Dixie project is this really big dilatant zone, which is kilometers long and over a kilometer wide at its widest. And that contains multiple gold zones. And the gold, it appears like the gold will come in at any change in geology. It'll come in along just about any structural trend. We've got gold popping out in all these different locations, and we have it popping out in this huge area. Like we've done test holes along kilometers now, 11 kilometers along the LP. Every time we hit the fault zone, we hit gold. And you know, now within the D2 fold axis adjacent to that, we've drilled about 2 kilometers. And random holes, I have to say, totally random holes, just checking along the axis of that that fold. And we just did another 9 holes, and we had gold, or 10 holes, we had gold in 9 of them. And it's pretty unprecedented. We haven't been able to find the edges of this system, either along strike or at depth. So it's really something that the market is not used to seeing. They're not used to that kind of scale. And then, you know, usually when you have that kind of scale, you're not going to have predictability. But because the LP fault is such a different beast than most of the other things in Red Lake, it's more like the Hemlo deposit, which, among other things, is known to be predictably mineralized within these shear zones and these same kind of felsic volcanic rocks that we have. So that's really what you're looking at. We have a combination of a really big system, and in terms of the LP fault, we have something that's actually really predictably mineralized as well. And that's what you're seeing with why we keep hitting really good gold results, release after release, month after month. That's a hallmark not of a discovery, that's a hallmark of a major gold discovery. And that's the difference here. We're looking at something that just doesn't have a lot of parallels in our industry, not in terms of new gold discoveries, but it does have parallels to some of the really big long-term gold deposits that are the foundational assets for these big mining companies.
So I'll post a link to the news release, and there are a lot of good figures here, but I also want you to compare figure one to that figure two as well, because that 1.2 kilometers, that's, let's call it the width here between the LP zone going down to the Dixie Limb zone and the Hinge zone. But that LP zone, the length of it, let's call it, that's well over 1.2 kilometers. That's something we've been talking about at length, of how big just that LP zone is. How can you put it in context for the investor to understand that it's not just that 1.2 kilometers, it's also that bigger envelope around the LP zone?
Yeah, Corey, this is one of the points that we have struggled to communicate. And really, if you think about it, there's a lot of companies in the space, and a lot of companies will talk about having a gold system that extends along kilometers, but that won't be continuous gold mineralization of long kilometers. They'll have various zones that pop out here and there along those kind of lengths, because it's really unusual, quite frankly. What we see with the LP fault, because it's shear zone hosted, it's in these felsic volcanic rocks, that's one gold zone that we're drilling off. That's right now we're drilling a grid that's 4.2 kilometers minimally in length. And every drill hole out of the 260 that we've put in along that are hitting gold. That's not different zones along kilometers. That's one zone along kilometers. There have been no gaps in the 260 holes so far, no gaps in that mineralization in that whole system. So, you know, what we're seeing is something that just doesn't have a lot of parallels on scale. And the width of it, you know, you're not talking about a typical high-grade gold deposit that might be on average. Like, think about this. Think about it. Like, there's maybe 30 million ounces of gold mined in the Red Lake camp. It's a major mining camp. And the average width, the average actual width of the mining is 2 meters. So it's about the length about the width of like your desk, the desk that I'm sitting at right now, or your kitchen table, you know, something like that. You know, what we're looking at, if you look at the cross section that we put out there yesterday, you have 1.2 kilometers width of multiple parallel gold zones. And we see, if you look at the Verify model we've got on our website, which is hundreds of drill holes at the LP, for instance, that system is up to hundreds of meters wide of gold mineralization. And in the middle of it, like the spine in your back, there's these panels, these sheets of high-grade gold that run down. And those will have widths. I think the widest I've seen is about 30 meters of about an ounce. That's about 30 grams per ton. And that'll narrow down to sometimes a meter, sometimes a couple meters of higher-grade material, 10 grams, 15 grams, an ounce. Sometimes we see hundreds of grams in these high-grade central panels. So, you know, that's what we're defining now, is those high-grade zones within that big volume of mineralization. And it just doesn't have a lot of parallels. You'd have to look... I mean, Corey, if you wanted a parallel, I did it the other day. I did a same scale comparison between, Yamana and Agnico's Canadian Malartic mine, their pit, and I overlaid that on top of the current drilling that we're doing at the LP fault. And the LP fault drilling that we're doing that shows gold in every hole has a bigger strike length than the 3.5 kilometer long Agnico Eagle open pit at Malartic, which is the biggest open pit mine in Canada. So these are the kind of scales people are only used to with low grade systems. What we have is a low grade system, but at the heart of it is a massive high grade occurrence that we're defining with dense drilling now. And that's really something that the market hasn't seen in a long time. So there's speculation that this could indeed be one of these rare tier one type assets.
Oh, I think there absolutely is. And that speculation has been around now for probably over a year, because you guys have just consistently, year after year, for the last 2 or 3 years, put out these impressive drill results. Can we also quickly talk about the depth component too? Because there were some drill results in this recent release that were also showing high grade drilled at depth too. We talk a lot about strike, but what's potential at depth here?
A general rule of thumb, like, unless you're dealing with what we call an epithermal system, which is really a system that popped out gold in the near surface, what we're dealing with here is a mesothermal gold system. So this gold would have popped out at kilometers depth in the crust at the time that it was forming. And these things tend to be, you know, a general rule of thumb is if you see strike length of X number of hundreds of meters or X number of kilometers, you probably have vertical extent of roughly a similar scope. So if we're drilling off a gold zone that's 4 or 5 kilometers long right now, where we're concentrating that effort, there's no reason to think that it also isn't extensive vertically for many kilometers. And that's the case with our neighboring deposits. Like the Red Lake Gold Mine, it's mined down for 2.5 vertical kilometers from surface. We haven't drilled anything near that close yet, because that kind of drilling, you tend to do it from underground development. And of course, we're talking about a brand new gold discovery. But all the other mines in this area, significant gold mines, have significant depth extent. And from that extent, from that perspective, we're only just kind of drilling the tip of the iceberg here so far, and it already looks like it could be a major deposit.
All right, let's talk about another news release. It came out March 8th. It was the building, continuous building of the team here. You had Gilbert Lawson added to the board of directors. Gilbert is well known in the resource sector, but for all of those that might not know this name, please give us a rundown on what the significance is to add him to the team.
Yeah, like what we're doing is building up, you know, any holes in the talent on the company, we've been filling with really top-notch people. So Gil, he's an addition that we added just this week, because his engineering background, it's really the best that you could find for this area. He ran the Red Lake Gold Mine, the Campbell Mine at the Red Lake Gold Complex for many years. So under the Rob McEwen high-grade zone gold discoveries, it was Gil running the Campbell Mine at that time. And, you know, he's also operated as general manager the Musselwhite Mine in Ontario, another major mining operation. Like, these are two of the biggest gold mines in Ontario, which means they're two of the biggest gold mines in Canada. And he's also been involved when he was with Goldcorp as sort of the head of global technical operations. So the reviews of all the active mine operations, all the technical reporting, the feasibility studies, these sort of things. So, you know, by bringing Gil into Great Bear, and by the way, he lives in Thunder Bay, so he's only about 4 hours or 5 hours from the drills right now. By bringing him in, we have somebody that knows the area really well. He knows the people really well. He's had really successful background with government and First Nations relationships in this area, and a really good track record of operations and the kind of resource study work and economic study work that we are embarking on now that we're getting enough drill data together. So a really good add. And you know, when he puts a stamp of approval onto something technically, you know that that stamp of approval has great meaning in the industry, and we're really happy and we're privileged to work with him.
So this all ties into, I think, what a lot of people want to know is, when is a resource going to come out, and what are the plans to move forward with proving out the economics of this project?
Right now, and we're dealing with a lot of engineers on this right now. Keep in mind, I'm not a mining engineer. I'm a geologist. I've worked in mines, but that doesn't make me a mining engineer. So we're working with people that are telling us how many drill holes we still need to get that initial maiden resource done in the near surface between about 0 meters depth and 400 meters depth. And of course, you've got an active exploration program going on at the same time. But what I'm expecting is that at some point this year, and this is, you know, we're already in the middle of March here, so we're not talking about far in the future. This is coming up quickly. But at some point this year, we're going to draw a line in the sand and we're going to say, you know what, that's enough drilling for that maiden resource. And then I would expect, based on what I've been told so far, that somewhere around the end of this year or the first quarter of next year, we're going to be looking at that initial maiden resource publication. So that's really exciting for us, because I think that's when these kind of companies, like in a situation like ours, if we're able to produce a tier one type maiden resource, that's something that is very, very rarely duplicated in this space. Nobody's done that for many years now. And that would put GBR on the map in terms of, 100% ownership of a tier one type asset, all within one junior company off the side of the highway in a major mining district. I mean, it would be something that the industry hasn't seen in a long time. That's the goal. And really, it's the drilling and it's the studies that bring the proof on that. And I think you can see with the drilling, like you said, it's been predictably successful. You can see the way that's going. So we're very optimistic about how this is going to turn out.
So since the company has a $45 million program just this year that is completely underway, has been underway since the beginning of the year, really, what is the news flow going to look like for investors?
I think it's going to look, Corey, the news flow will look a lot like what you're seeing now. So we've had news just about every week on various items. And I would imagine even on the technical results side, probably every couple weeks going forward. So I imagine that there will be very few companies that can match the pace and the quality of the results that we're generating. And this isn't, it's not a case of, it's not a case of a discovery where you're going to get a few good drill holes and then, things will, I think, begin to sour. You typically see that in the industry because, let's face it, most projects don't turn into mines. But here you're going to see that steady flow of positive information. That's a forward-looking statement, but I mean, that's what we provided over the last kind of like 3-year period with the drilling. So I don't expect that to change going forward. The proof's in the pudding with the drill holes, but there should be more results coming out, more good results coming out than just about anybody else in the industry can match. So if you're looking at an environment where you have excitement in the gold space, I know I've seen some M&A activity recently. I'm not going to comment on implications on that other than the fact that it shows that there's a pulse and a heartbeat in the industry. And I think that's the kind of thing with a program like ours, $45 million budget, and the kind of quality of asset that we're working on, I think we can be a leader in the space. We have been, and I think we will be on a go-forward basis too.
All right. Well, Chris, I appreciate the update. If anybody has any follow-up questions regarding any of the news or any of the plans this year, please email me, fleck@kereport.com. I will get Chris to address those, and sounds like I'll be having you back on the show pretty regularly here, Chris. So I do appreciate your update, and I look forward to our next discussion. I hope you have a great weekend.
Thanks, Corey. Talk again soon.